catch up on all the live shows right here on africatechradio.com.
Instead of crying about Mondays, too much days, and everything else in the week, come on, stop. Seize every day so that you don't have to pray for days that do not exist. Because trust me, the worst day is the day that does not exist, the one you crave for so much, but it just doesn't seem to come around. This is Tony's Tech Side. Welcome to My Side of Tech. We'll dig deep into the rubbles of history to find precious jewels of knowledge to launch you into the future, and then share the most important and juiciest tech stories impacting Africa to keep you informed. You can share your own stories with the rest of us on WhatsApp. You can text or send a voice note on 0913-558-1766. Please add +234 if you're texting from outside Nigeria. This is March, it's Women's Month, and there's a quote that speaks to me, and I would want that same quote to speak to you. It's from our own dear Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie from We Should All Be Feminists. It says, "We teach girls to shrink themselves, to make themselves smaller. We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much. You should aim to be successful, but not too successful. Otherwise, you would threaten the man. Because I'm female, I'm expected to aspire to marriage. I'm expected to make my life choices, always keeping in mind that marriage is the most important. Why do we teach girls to aspire to marriage and we don't teach boys the same?" Words from Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's We Should All Be Feminists. Going back into time, March 13, 1978, when English astronomer William Herschel, using a telescope, noticed a small object that would move slowly across the sky for the next several days. At first, he thought he had discovered a comet, but then after continued observation, he discovered Uranus. Yes, that's the name. He discovered a planet, and the planet is now called Uranus, after the Greek god of the sky. This was also notable, as was the first time a planet was being discovered or was discovered by a telescope. The discovery of the planet led to his appointment as royal court astronomer George III, which allowed him to further pursue astronomy. Just something really interesting about this man. Later on, something about his son, actually, which is also important because it's something that happened within this week in March, sometime some years back. Same March 13, 1986. On this day, March 13, 1986, 10 years after the company was founded, Microsoft Corporation, went public. Yes, their stocks went public at $21 per share. The stock, which eventually closed at $27.75 a share, peaked at $29.25 a share shortly after the opening, and it said that the rising value of Microsoft stock has made an estimated 4 billionaires and 12,000 millionaires of Microsoft employees. And what does it exactly mean for a company to go public? If you're just hearing this for the first time, it describes a private company's initial public offering, IPO, and moving to a publicly traded and owned company. So, the company offers shares of a common stock to the public in order to raise capital. And, by doing this, it moves, the ownership of that company to the public and no longer private. And sometimes venture capitalists, people who invest in startups and companies, use IPOs as an exit strategy. That's to reap their investment in a company that they've invested in. On March 14, 1839, almost 58 years to this day, I talked about William Herschel, who discovered the planet Uranus. Well, on March 14, 1839, John Herschel, the son of William Herschel, presented the Royal Society what is considered the first recorded use of the word photography. It was in his note on the art of photography, or the application of the chemical rays of light to the purposes of pictorial representation. John was a famous English scientist and polymath, doing work as a mathematician, astronomer, chemist, inventor, and experimental photographer. He was also the inventor of the blueprint, among his many accomplishments. And on March 15, 1985, the first internet domain, symbolics.com, was registered by Symbolics, a Massachusetts computer company, and that made it the first internet domain registered. You could still click on symbolics.com, to find out what's on that page. I wouldn't tell you. I think you should click on it and see what it shows you, but you'll be clicking on the first internet domain ever registered. And moving on to the 16th of March 1999, where the Mac operating system X Server 1.0 was released. It was the first version of the Mac operating system X. And the desktop version, you know, later on got released about a year later on 24th of March 2001. And then on 16th of March 1926, Robert Goddard, now considered the father of modern rocketry, successfully launched the world's first liquid-fueled rocket in Auburn, Massachusetts. And this rocket reached an altitude of 41 feet in 2 seconds at a speed of about 60 miles per hour. And then later on in 1995, on March 16, the world's first wiki web, you know, gets its start as Ward Cunningham sends an email inviting people to add and edit content. So a wiki is a database that can be a community collaboration. So rather than calling his creation Quick Web, you know, Cunningham said the inspiration for the name wiki came from the WikiWiki shuttle bus he learned of during a trip to Hawaii. WikiWiki means quick or fast in the Hawaiian language. That's where the word wiki is from. And 6 years later, Wikipedia, you know, got launched. And although Cunningham had no official involvement in it, well, he officially launched the WikiWiki web 9 days later on the 25th of March in 1995. That's all looking back into history this week in March. And we'll swiftly move on to the news that is actually making, you know, the trend and the news that's making the headlines across the tech space on the continent of Africa. Well, Afrobeat is not the only thing that keeps Nigeria trending on the news. Tech is one of the major things that actually keeps Nigeria trending on the news for the very good reasons. Well, which should I start with now? Not exactly too great news, but news that have in them great opportunities, yeah? So let's start with the Director General of the National Space Research and Development Agency, NASRDAR, in Nigeria, saying that the agency's plan to launch a satellite from Nigeria in 2025 is no longer feasible. Yes, and the DG of the National Space Research and Development Agency, Dr. Halilu Shaba, you know, made this known during a presentation at the 8th Science, Tech and Innovation Expo that was held in Nigeria's capital, Abuja. According to him, while launching of the satellite is capital intensive, the agency is not financially ready but is developing the needed capacity. And the agency had already designed, you know, already has the design of a desired satellite, and with improvement of budgetary allocations, it can build and launch a satellite from Nigeria shortly. He also added that according to the agency's 25-year roadmap of the agency, you know, part of its strategy was to launch a Nigerian astronaut in space and an indigenous satellite from Nigerian soil by 2025. But right now, it doesn't look like that is actually possible. And considering the fact that Nigeria current, like as I speak to you in March, there's an issue with Nigeria's budget in terms of budget padding, your 2024 budget, you know, being padded and whatnot. And I'm talking about a 3 trillion naira worth budget. The space industry in Nigeria is valued at $1 billion. And that's, if you put this side by side with Nigeria's 2024 budget, which is about 3 trillion naira, yeah, something around 2.6 2.33 million, something somewhere around 2.3 million. The space industry in Nigeria is almost half of the budgetary allocation of Nigeria in 2024. You can make use of the information or make do with that information, whatever, you know, assumptions you want to make, but the space industry in Nigeria hasn't been tapped, and it's a really, really big gold mine that, if at all, you know, a lot, you know, some efforts, you know, is put into it. I know that we've had you know, a lot of you know, thoughts around it with, you know, different DGs coming on board, but it's something that's really, really going to blow up the space. Not just keep thinking about fintech, but space is really, really good. And now to the second thing happening in Nigeria, which is really important, and it affects a lot of people. Remember that on the 26th of February, two Binance executives in Nigeria who had flown into the country to resolve the ban on the company's website were confirmed arrested. And latest reports indicate that Nigeria is grilling the detainees for information on the top 100 Binance users in the country, as well as other data, including, you know, 6-month transaction history from the company. Now, the country also wants Binance to settle any tax liabilities which it has in Nigeria. And while both executives were previously unidentified, there's a new Wired report that identifies the two arrested executives as Tigran Gambarian, a former crypto-focused U.S. federal agent, and Nadeem Anjawala, Binance's Africa regional manager. Both executives have been in Nigeria, capital city of Nigeria, Abuja, at the Office of the National Security Advisor. And this makes everyone to talk about the crypto crackdown that's actually happening, with most of the exchanges, you know, being disconnected, you know, in Nigeria. So Nigerians cannot access most of the exchange platforms, crypto exchange platforms. And we really thought that in 2023, the lifting of the ban, you know, on, you know, crypto exchanges in Nigeria, that things had gotten a little bit better. But with the recent FX crunch in the country, a lot of people feel that those who are these platforms somehow, you know, are encouraging speculation and unofficial exchange speculation, and then the government is trying to prevent the unofficial exchange rate sets on these platforms. That's what it's trying to do. These websites have actually become a popular alternative for trading the Nigerian Naira and have unofficially established a market-driven exchange rate. And what has Binance been accused of? Well, operating illegally and handling about $26 billion in unidentified funds. And that's what the government wants them to identify, as in who owns the funds, you know, all of that. And then some history on how, you know, these funds have been moved around recently. Well, with these happenings, there's a possibility that there might be some action against crypto users who facilitated a transfer of funds, especially these funds that we're talking about, $26 billion in unidentified funds. While these executives remain in detention, we really hope that this is resolved as soon as possible, because the executives, based on the law in Nigeria, were actually supposed to, you know, be released yesterday, the 12th of March. But then there's a court order that's set for today, 13th of March, while I speak live on Africa Tech Radio. And we might actually see an extension of, you know, their stay, or they're being held in detention. And we hope that this doesn't escalate in a way more than it's happening right now. While Nigerian singer, you know, Timaya keeps shouting gra-gra, I know they do gra-gra, I mean, I know they do gra-gra, and Tiwa Savage is literally saying somebody's song will love me, Google is saying we're not as proud, we're not saying that we can, so we're restricting our AI chatbot, Gemini, from answering questions about the global elections that are going to happen in the year 2024, as they're looking to avoid potential missteps in the deployment of the tech. And for all of you who have been, you know, pointing fingers at, you know, AI, especially AI chatbots and wrong answers and misinformation and disinformation and fake news, well, Google has heard. And of course, the chatbot will be saying, somebody song will love me one day. And Google is saying, we don't do gra-gra. We're going to work on it, right? And then we're going to improve it and ensure that, you know, it ticks all the boxes. We've just launched it and, you know, we're getting your feedback. And once we train and retrain the AI, it's going to work a little bit faster. Note that the US elections are coming up in 2024, and a lot of fingers were pointed to the last election that brought in Biden and took out Trump. A lot of fingers were pointed to, you know, interference from technology and from foreign forces. Yeah, so this updates from Google comes at a time when advancements in generative AI, you know, including image and video generation, have kind of like fanned or brought about concerns of misinformation and fake news among the public, and governments, you know, having to stand up, you know, to talk about regulation for the AI or things related to AI technology. US is not the only place where elections are going to be happening, general elections. Well, national elections are going to be happening in South Africa, for example. And in the world's largest democracy, India, well, just a rundown of the elections that are going to happen on the continent of Africa. Senegal has been moved from February, and it's now, I think, March 24th or March 25th, somewhere around that. And South Africa is supposed to happen in May. Oh, wow. I thought it was later on in December. Oh, wow. Okay. Madagascar has parliamentary elections in May. Mauritania has presidential elections on the 22nd of June. Rwanda has presidential and parliamentary elections on the 15th of July. Ghana has its presidents and National Assembly elections on the 7th of December. Mozambique, legislative and presidential elections on 24th of October. And Chad also has elections into the National Assembly, you know, local elections, and for a president in October. Tunisia, presidential election October. Botswana, parliamentary and local elections in October. Dates not set. And then finally, Guinea-Bissau, sometime in November, they'll be voting for a new president. Yes, so we really, really hope, right, that, you know, these AI products that are under the eyes of everyone after, you know, a lot of inaccuracies in, you know, historical depictions, inaccuracies of information, we can actually make these AI chatbots and solutions way better, you know, than they are. And nobody, aside the US and, say, India, for example, I was expecting a democracy as big as South Africa to already start making statements about interference of technology in its election that's happening, because this is also a very big election. Like, there are a lot of issues, you know, with power and electricity, with the state of the economy. There are a lot of issues, you know, that will spur, you know, people to make certain decisions or make decisions in one way or the other. And tech can be a game changer for who wins the election in South Africa. Nonetheless, this particular song, Somebody's Son by Tiwa Savage, and then I think Ogaranya by Adekunle Gold, and Holy Ground, yeah, Davido and Nicki Minaj, just, you know, tells a better story of how when the big dogs fight, only, you know, the smaller grasses or the sand kind of like suffers from it. And in a bit, I'm going to share the story of Universal Music Global and TikTok, how the two elephants are fighting and who exactly is benefiting and who is losing from that particular fight. Well, the largest music publishing company, yeah, that is Universal Music Group, has removed most of, if not all, its music, you know, the music created by its artists and songwriters from TikTok since February 2024, as their licensing agreement expired. So I was scrolling through TikTok and stumbled on videos from the famous Ogaranya challenge, yeah, the one where you put your shoulders up and you're like, yeah, easy money this year, easy money, I'm an Ogaranya. But then they're all now muted. I mean, almost 100 million views and likes combined on TikTok alone, now on mute. You just see people acting and you're wondering what exactly they're acting to. Like, why are people raising their shoulders in such a manner? And you do not know that they actually participated in a challenge whose song is now muted on TikTok. And yes, I checked. It wasn't my network. No, it wasn't my phone. And it had nothing at all to do with anyone else. Apparently, Universal Music Group muted most, if not all, of its artists and songwriters from TikTok since February 2024, and then went ahead to not just mute, you know, their own artist alone, but any music at all that has their artist featured, yeah, on it, not the one that had them as the main artist. This happened since their licensing agreement expired in January, yeah, end of January 2024. So if you try to play certain videos on TikTok pages of Burna Boy, Adekunle Gold, or even the K-pop artist BTS, Simi, Nasty C, the sound will not play. It will tell you that currently sound removed due to copyright restrictions. And what exactly is the issue? Universal Music Group wants TikTok to pay more. Currently, according to trade publication Music Business Worldwide, TikTok is paying Universal about $110 million a year, compared to platforms like Meta, which is Instagram and Facebook together, that pay around $200 million to $300 million a year. And then streaming services like Spotify and YouTube pay way more than that. Well, TikTok has refused to pay more. They say that Universal is greedy and they're not considering the artists and songwriters. So let's look at the actualities of these two claims. Yeah, first off, TikTok is undoubtedly the most effective platform to make your song go viral. 1.2 billion monthly active users in a 7 billion people world. And these people kind of like dictate songs now that make it to the Billboard Hot 100 charts. This has been happening since COVID period, so it's not a fluke. They've done it again and again and again. In fact, record labels like Universal put pressure on their artists to become content creators on TikTok for the sole reason of pushing their art. And you see these songwriters and these musicians and artists who clearly, first of all, are not content creators. You know, technically they're not, but they have to go the extra mile to keep creating extra content even after pouring out their hearts in songs and the music that they do, just because they need their song to go viral, they need to sell, they need to convert. One, two, TikTok isn't exactly where these songs are placed. There's no directory of the real, 1 minute, 3 minutes long song. Because the last time I checked, I think there was actually a cap, like a timeline. You can't play a song on TikTok for, you can't play the full song on TikTok, simple and short. So it means TikTok isn't a place where you can consume all of the content. I mean, all of that musical content. So you need to go to the Spotify, your music playing platforms, your YouTube and the rest of them, right? That's the second thing. TikTok feels that it's also a great marketing tool, and they are even benefiting. They're like doing a portion or a large portion of the work that the Universal Music Group and other music labels are supposed to be doing, which is promoting your artists and pushing your artists. According to TikTok, they've gotten to that point where they now have a platform that can do all of that. And come on, like, if you can innovate past us, then maybe we would have a conversation. And this is what I think TikTok is thinking when, this is happening. But according to Universal Music and the actualities of the points that have been made by Universal Music, first off, TikTok acquired Musical.ly, I think, it's a music playing platform, just like what TikTok is today, but it was mainly for like the US teenagers, kind of. So the whole idea, the major selling points of TikTok is, based on music, sound, right? And if we do not have original sounds created, how are we going to get those reverbs and the DJ mixes and, the different fixes, and refixes of those original songs, which will now be used, which are, actually popularly more even used than the original songs by the artists. But if we didn't have the original art, how are we now going to do spin-offs of, original songs and have them and have people dance to them and have people create content to them? And if I'm right, I stand to be corrected, but music, music, sound that's like music, is much more in use than just random voices of people on TikTok, right? That's one. Two, Universal Music isn't just asking for money, right? They're also asking for protection of their artists against AI. So we heard Kepu Kepu like small news that there's a possibility that TikTok would start giving you the opportunity to like use AI to create music, and if that happens, it means I can create somebody like somebody and then use the music instead of actually using the original sound from this person, and I don't get to pay this person. And then at the very heart of this conversation is the fact that the original people who create these contents, the artists, need to be paid. Okay, now what else again is left of this conversation? Okay, it's the actualities. Also, I just think that, there's the part of how much TikTok actually contributes to Universal. Because if I'm saying that TikTok promotes the music for Universal, how much actually converts? According to Universal Music, revenue from TikTok is about 1% of the total revenue from Universal. But this is direct. They're not looking at indirect, right? Nobody's looking at indirect. And of course, clearly, you know, Sony Music, Warner have not joined, you know, or said anything or made any comments. In fact, they recently just renewed, I think last year or 2 years ago, you know, their agreement with TikTok. What exactly is the place of artists in all of this? Some artists have complained and said, you know what, you guys should just settle it out. And I think that's actually the best way, you know, not to side with either Universal or with TikTok, because these are literally two big guns. And any way it goes, right, if Universal gets more music, more money from TikTok, it doesn't exactly mean that all the artists will not have a very big jump. You know, they're gonna have like much more money in their bank account, because it's still going to be shared between Universal and the other people that are under Universal and the people who the artists are signed to, for those who are not exactly signed directly to Universal, and then they have like a long list and all whatnot. But then, is this in any way, you know, profits those who are like independent musicians, you know, anyway like that? Well, there are two sides to look at it. First off, there's nobody to fight for you, or, you know, when bigger pictures and conversations like this come up, because if at all this works, right, it means Universal is going to be getting a bigger pie and their artists are actually going to be benefiting more, and then they can also push for more. I know the Universal also pushed for something with YouTube recently, where they said, we don't want any kind of AI whatsoever that has to do with music, don't introduce it, and YouTube caved, you know, for Universal. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, just to ensure that they're taking an extra step. You know, it's the way you give somebody a chance, they're trying to take chances. So maybe they're trying to take chances and ensure that their artists and, you know, them being in the structure as Universal Music Global, Universal Music Group, you know, they don't lose any meter whatsoever or structure. They don't lose anything whatsoever in terms of, you know, their grasp of the music industry. So promoters, music promoters, what are you going to do next? Would you, you know, take TikTok influencers and dancers off TikTok to a different platform? Or would you still keep paying TikTok influencers and dancers even when? So how exactly are you going to work around this? I look forward to your comments. I look forward to your thoughts. And trust me, at first it started with only the songwriters, you know, and artists signed directly to Universal Music. And now it is extended to all, anything that concerns anything that has to be Universal. As far as we have a Universal artist on the song, a Universal songwriter on it, on that sound is not going to play. And will Sony, will Warner join? How will this end? If you have an idea of how it's going to end, please let me know. Well, that's not the only issue that TikTok is going to be facing, which, you know, a lot of Americans believe that TikTok is going to cave, because while the elections are nearing, the United States government is actually thinking of banning TikTok. Maybe that might just be what will break the back or the neck of TikTok. Up until then, keep enjoying the wonderful sounds that you enjoy on TikTok. And if at all you can't enjoy the sounds of your favorite musicians on TikTok, you can listen to them on stream platforms. Well, while you may not be able to use the holy ground Davido and Nicki Minaj on any TikTok video again until, you know, the two elephants, TikTok and Universal Music, settle all of their issues, well, someone who has caved and someone who's ready to move forward is Airbnb. Well, they say, based on their new announcement, that any house owner won't be able to use security cameras inside the property that they're renting out to people using Airbnb starting the end of April 2024. And this is a worldwide ban on the use of security cameras indoors. Yes, so this move is supposed to help simplify the rules on security cameras and then prioritize the privacy of guests. Everyone is moving a little bit more towards privacy, and I really hope that they have good intentions in mind. And let me help you, you know, with what exactly is needed and what isn't, what is in the rules and what isn't in the rules. Well, the new rules will allow you to still use, you know, doorbell cameras and noise monitors in common areas. Common areas are like sitting room, the kitchen, exactly. And these devices also have to be disclosed on the property's listing page. And you can't use outdoor cameras that point into or inside the properties. Yep. And Airbnb already does not allow, you know, surveillance cameras to be placed in private areas like bedrooms, bathrooms, toilets. I know we've had reports of things like this happening in hotels and whatnot, and it really shouldn't be. Well, this is in a bid to kind of like strike a balance for the need for the host to be able to monitor their, you know, their property and the security of their own property, and be aware of issues, you know, such as unauthorized parties, you know, at the same time prioritizing the privacy of the guests, because yes, you can have cameras in, you know, common areas, but then come on, bedroom, that's too much now. Well, we're hoping that this is something that sticks, and this is something that everyone else can actually adopt. And I don't want to say that Airbnb was pushed, but I saw a US comedy show, you know, the Saturday Night Live, that aired a spoof Airbnb advert that included a joke that, you know, there's like a camera, you know, in the toilet. And, you know, if you watched it, it wasn't just a camera in the toilet. I mean, a camera in the toilet seat. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Yes. Okay, so that's how we wrap up, you know, on Tony's Tech Side on, you know, this wonderful day. You can like, share, subscribe wherever you're listening from, and please share your stories with the rest of us. If you think there's something we missed out in the stories we've shared so far, from the Binance issue in Nigeria to the Space Research and Development Agency in Nigeria, up until the Universal Music and the TikTok saga, and the looking back into time, the many things that happened within this period, including Microsoft going public, you know, years and years before now. You can send a message, WhatsApp, of course, text, or send a voice note, 0913-558-1766.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to catch up on all the live shows right here on africatechradio.com.